Parshas Noach, so of the more complicated parshas of Sefer Bereishis, to understand exactly what is going on in the basic storyline, if I'd have to write a PhD psychological analysis of anyone in Tanakh, I would pick Noach. I find him to be a very interesting person. Different traits about Noach depicted in this, in Parshas Noach, and even in the end of Parshas Bereishis, how the Torah describes and details who exactly Noach was, the way the Mefarshim and the Midrashim address Noach's attitude, Noach's conduct. But at the end of the day, we have to be careful, because no matter what we're going to say about Noach, the Torah calls him an Ish Tzaddik. The Torah doesn't call me an Ish Tzaddik. The Torah doesn't call too many other people an Ish Tzaddik. The Torah calls Noach an Ish Tzaddik. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testifying that Noach was and is an Ish Tzaddik. Whether or not he did things that we don't understand, that we can't comprehend, that's our problem. That's not his problem. You know, today people give greetings to each other, write letters to Rabbanim. You know, he's a goyin, Adir, Oikar, Harim, all these wonderful titles which mean nothing. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a title, that means something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes about Noach, he's an Ish Tzaddik, that means the Torah is telling us something very special about Noach. But there are difficulties in various Midrashim and Rashi to understand exactly what Noach was all about. We've right off the bat, in the beginning of the parasha, the Torah gives us this, the Torah tells us Noach was a tzaddik b'dayreisov. So the quotes, Rashi quotes a Gemara, a whole debate whether or not he would have been a tzaddik in Avram's door. He wouldn't have been a tzaddik in Avram's door. There's a lot to talk about that debate. But Reb Zalig Epstein used to say over from his grandfather, Reb Shimon Shkop, that Reb Shimon used to learn pshat in that machloikis wasn't the way people think it out. Was he a good guy or was Noach a bad guy? The discussion over there was what motivation do people have from a bad community? And Noach lived in a bad time. So there's two things you could do when you live amongst bad people. You can be motivated to improve, or you can say to yourself, hey, I'm better off than they are. So where's the motivation? It's very tricky when you're around people that are not living the same moral life as you. You can either be very motivated, or you can say, well, where's the motivation? I'm not as bad as those guys. Come on, I'm not so bad. At least I'm better than everyone else in the shul, better than everyone else in the neighborhood. So then that was the machlokes. Where self-motivation comes from depending on the nature of your community. Some people say, yeah, if the people are worse, we're more motivated. The people are better, you're less motivated. That's the discussion of B'dei Roisov. The Beis Halevi has a very famous question in last week's parasha. The Beis Halevi doesn't understand what happened with the animals. We know that the animals got destroyed as well. And the Gemara asks, what did the animals do? So the Gemara says, because the animals lived out of their kind. They lived with not in their min. So everyone asked the kasha, animals don't have a taiva. They're programmed, they're robots. They do what they're told. Human beings have taiva, so we do what we're not supposed to do. How can an animal do what it's not supposed to do? It's like a computer program, right? It does what it's supposed to do. You put it in and it goes. So how can the animals do other than they were programmed to do? So the Beis Halevi says a very, very important insight. Beis Halevi says, because when the entire world, the entire society changes, the teva of the animals changes as well. The entire society of that time of the Dar HaMabul was a society of immorality. Everyone was. The human beings were. And that changed the metzias of the animals. Shtigl briska vert over here. It changes the metzias of the animals. Because the whole society was so bad, even the animals, even though they're really pre-programmed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who do they live with, they were likewise affected by this behavior, and they themselves changed to be living with the animals they're not supposed to. So the Beis Halevi's Yisrael, I think, is very true. How we live in a society today where everything changes. Everything what used to be sacred is no longer. What used to be viewed as immoral is now acceptable. That's what happened in the times of the Dar HaMabul. Everything that used to be normal changed. And not only did it change for the people, it likewise changed for the animals. The entire Bria changed in a way that now even the animals are doing things that were not programmed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the contrast to this we find at the end of the parasha, when the Torah tells us about Shem and Yefes. So Rashi quotes over there that only really one of them were involved in covering up Noach. It was really Shem. Yefes, once he saw Shem was doing it, he joined the party. And Rashi says that what? So Shem, who was the initiator of the idea, he was Zoyche to Tzitzis. Yefes, that only did it afterwards, he was Zoyche to Kvura. So Soloveitchik points out, what was the difference between Shem and Yefes' behavior? So he explains very, very nicely. He says there's a difference between etiquette and ethical. What's the difference between those two things? He says that's what Shem and Yefes were. A person can be ethical. That means he's imbued with the right and wrong things to do. You don't need someone to tell you. You don't need society to tell you. You know, it's imbued. It's part of your life. That's the way you were brought up. It's in here. It's internal. You were raised with it. You know right and wrong. You know what to do and what not to do. Then there's what we call etiquette. You do what everyone else is doing. You come to the table and there's 52 forks and 72 knives. You don't know exactly what to do. So you watch the other guy. He picks up this fork. You pick up that fork. You don't really know what's right or wrong. You don't have a sense of it. But you follow because you don't want to be different. You follow what everyone else is doing. So you'll say to yourself, that's not such a bad way of living life. So he says it's not an issue of being bad or not, but it's a different way of conducting yourself. That was shame. Shame lived, he understood what was right and wrong. He didn't need someone to show him what to do. And that's why he was zeichet to tzitzis, because tzitzis is something that's covered. It's between me and myself. I don't need to express it to anyone else. It's not based on anyone else. It's me. I know what's right and I know what I need to do. Yefes was the other way. He was waiting to see what everyone else does. Oh, if Shame does it, I know what's right. If Shame doesn't do it, that's not right. So he was taking his shots from someone else. Therefore, Yefes was zeichet to tzitzis. What's tzitzis? That's to kvura. What's kvura? Kavod habris. That's why we do, because, you know, it's the right thing to do. It's morally accepted. It's what everyone else is doing. That's kavod habris. So that's the difference between Klal Yisrael and the Umas Olam. Klal Yisrael, we don't need to be told, or we look at what everyone else is doing and we decide, oh, this is what's right. Jewish values don't change over the years. We have the same values and ideology from the beginning till now. The world around us may change, but we ourselves as Yidden, because we don't have it, we don't do it because it's etiquette, we do it because it's ethical. Our ethics don't change, the Torah doesn't change, it's forever the same way. That's the difference between us and the game around us. That's why we have today politicians that 20 years ago said one thing, and they changed their mind yesterday, and they changed their mind again, because it's not like they really believe it, that they go with the times. If the times have changed, we're different people, and also our views change, the Torah's views don't change. And that's the difference between shame and yafas. Noyach.
Very strong. They came out yesterday and endorsed
Clinton.
And because the Assad voted for Trump because he's pro-Israel. So they were very good. The ethics worked out very nicely with gay marriage and with
Torah's values, whatever they include. Torah's values don't change. But just very bekitzer with Noyach. Noyach was probably the most unsuccessful Makariv in the world. Noyach was not very good in the Kiruv movement. Avram Avinu, Mitzvah, this week's parasha, we'll see how Avram Avinu was a very successful Mekariv. Noach was not a very good Mekariv. There's a couple of reasons why he wasn't. Could be he wasn't interested in doing Kiruv. That's one of the pshatim. He didn't view that as Tafkar HaChayim. He more had the old Litvisha style of he was going to sit and learn. And whatever happened around him happened. He closed himself up, locked himself in a door, and he sat and learned Torah all day. You guys all kill each other outside. Whatever happens, nice knowing you. That was one pshat. However, if you look at the Mefarshim, you'll see it's not true. Noach wasn't like that. He tried. He just wasn't successful. If you look in the Sforno learns that Noach tried to rebuke the people. It just didn't come out well. What exactly was the mistake? So if you look in Emes LeYaakov, Yaakov Kamenetsky explains beautifully. He says the mistake that Noach had was he didn't understand his generation. You can't rebuke the people if you don't understand how they work. He got up and he used to give drushes about how stupid and dumb Avodah Zarah is. It's such a foolish thing. What are you guys, crazy? You bound down to... What was his mistake? The people knew that. They knew Avodah Zarah didn't make any sense. But Avodah Zarah was really hiding a deeper taiva that they had, which was really for Arayis. And this wasn't their real taiva. They didn't really have a taiva for Avodah Zarah. Their taiva was masked by the taiva for Arayis. And Noach didn't realize that. So he was giving them rebuke, and it was totally not gold. In order to be a successful Makariv in today's society, you have to be in touch with the people. You have to know how they work. And I always joke, you know, a few years ago they had an asifa against the internet. So anyone who's going to get up and say, okay, we're just going to abolish the internet in the from community. You're not in touch with the community. That's not practical. That's not going to get us anywhere. You have to come up with ways to talk to the people that you're dealing with. Come up with eitzes, ideas. Just to say, well, we'll just forget about it. It's not a problem. That's not successful Kiruv. And that was the difference between Avraham Avinu and Noach. Avraham Avinu was a people's person. He understood the people. He got into their psyche. He got into their world. Some say the difference was because Noach was from birth. He grew up in a from house. He didn't understand the outside world. Avraham Avinu was a Baal Tshuva, so to say. Avraham Avinu lived the other, grew up differently. So when he came to the religion, he had a whole different outlook of it. So that's why he was different than Noach. But in any case, the attitude of Avraham Avinu in this week's parasha and going forward in the rest of Sefer Bereishis was very different than Noach's attitude. Noach's attitude was he was trying to rebuke the people, but he wasn't getting into their world. And you have to sometimes get into someone's mind, into the way they work in order to have success with them. I remember a few years ago, I had a Talmud once that told me he doesn't like the word tzitzis. I said, why? He told me it's uncomfortable to wear tzitzis. My mom couldn't get into his psyche. Listen, there's a lot of mitzvahs I understand are a pain. Davening, and I get it all. But tzitzis, come on, it's such a thin thing. How much can it really bother you? And the answer is the same idea as Rabbi Yaakov. It wasn't because the thinness of the tzitzis bothered him. It was a deeper, something more bothered him about the tzitzis, about the idea, whatever it was. So sometimes, you know, when we try to connect to people and understand what's going on, we really have to get into their shoes. We have to get into their mind, into their world. What are they thinking? What's going on in their life? And that was the fundamental difference between Avraham Avinu and Noach. Okay, we left off last week. We were trying to figure out Kinyan Chazakah. We're going to figure out all of Baba Basra and parts of Kedushin in today's shir to understand what exactly is Kinyan Chazakah. The Mishnah tells us in Kedushin that one of the ways to acquire property, and likewise one of the ways to acquire an Evet Kanani, if a person wants to go buy an Evet Kanani, one of the ways to do so is through a Kinyan called Kinyan Chazakah. What exactly is Kinyan Chazakah? So till now we've learned that Kinyan Chazakah is made up of a couple of various options. One option is what the Mishnah says in Bava Basra, Na'al Geder Peretz, which either means you lock the door, close the door, Machloikish Rishayin, and maybe even you install a lock, whatever it is, something to do closing a door. Or Gadar Peretz, which means either you put up a fence or you make a hole in a fence. Then the Gemara by us told us there's another option, either opening a door as well. So till now we've learned that the definition of Kinyan Chazakah is either opening a door or closing a door. The Rambam learned you close it and then you reopen it. Okay, we discussed it all last week. The whole idea of closing and opening doors, that somehow this is supposed to create some form of a Kinyan Chazakah. The problem is, there's a Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara in Baba Basra, number 2, reads like this. Zakti Gemara. Hamatzia mitzois b'nechse ager kono. Gemara Baba Basra Daflon Gimel Beis talks about how are you kain if a nechse ager? You have a ger who dies without any yershim, that's free property. Everyone, it's equivalent to hefker dika land. So who's kain of the land and how are you kain of the land? So the Gemara says, if you lay down mats on the ground, you're kain it. So you walk in the moment the ger dies and you put down your high riser and your mattresses and your beds, boom, that's enough to make the land yours. What type of kinyan is that? What did you do? You put your mats down on this guy's karka? What kinyan is that? So the Gemara assumes this is kinyan chazak. By putting your mats down on his land, that becomes kinyan chazak. So the Gemara says, I'll prove it to you. Vadrinu enye memas nisan. I'll make it even clearer to you from my Mishnah. Mahi detanya, keitzad bechazaka. How do you do kinyan chazaka by nevet kanani? No aloy min aloy. The evet takes off your shoe. He puts it on your shoe, takes off your shoe, or he carries your kelim to you to the Beis HaMerchatz. All these activities are kinyan chazakah. So likewise, says the Gemara, this is the same thing as you putting your beds on the karka of the ger. So the question is, what type of kinyan exactly is this? How does this fit with the narrative that we had last week, that kinyan chazakah has something to do with the land? Either you protect the land, you improve the land. What are you doing by putting your bed down on the land? What does that show? Maybe. But again, till now we've been working with that the theme was bailus, the how-to was dictated by Chazal, or maybe even Machloekis Rishonim. How do you go about showing this bailus? So we said either you do it by showing protection, by locking your door you're showing bailus because you're making it mishumer, or by opening it you're making it accessible. This was possibly the Machloekis Rishonim from last week's share. Or by doing what's called a tikkun begof hakarka, you improve the actual land, you work the land. What does this constitute? What does this do for us by putting beds down in the land of the Ger? So in order to answer this question, we really have to go back a step and figure out, where do we even know this thing called Kinyan Chazakah? How do we even know? Who told us? How do we know that the way you're kain a karka is by closing doors, locking doors? Who told us all this? Is this a pasuk somewhere? Is it a drasha? How do we know? So for this, we have to go to the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Chafa. The Gemara in Kedushin...
The parasha that they bring for the proof doesn't prove what they...
Correct. All the Gemaras that we saw till far, the Mishnah of Baba Basra, the Gemara by us, that all talked about opening and closing a door. This is something new, right? This is all of a sudden a new... That's another issue. Is there a difference between being kainah from Hefker and being kainah from another human being? Is it such a given that one can draw a distinction between when I want to buy something from you and when I want to buy something from Hefker? What requires more Kenyan ability to do? So simply speaking, it would be a lot easier to buy something from Hefker because it's already ownerless. All I need to do is sweep in and take over. As opposed to something which has an ownership, first I have to get rid of his ownership, then I get my ownership on. So can we draw a distinction between being kind of things from Hefker and being kind of things from someone else? That's something we'll have to talk about in a few minutes. So the Gemara Kedushin of Chavav says, Minolam, how do you know you have Kinyan Chazakah? So Amma Chizki Damakra, he quotes a pasuk, which is a pasuk in Yirmiyah. This is with Gedaliah ben Achikam in Yirmiyah, right before Gedaliah is killed. So the pasuk says, V'shavu bo'areichem, asher tefastem. You should dwell in your cities that you grabbed, that you made yours. Zogt Gemara b'matafastem. How did you grab them? Be yeshiva. Through sinning in the cities, that's how they become yours. Tivir Rebbe Shmuel. So the whole source of Kinyan Chazakah is a pasuk in Navi, which then leads us to believe the whole Kinyan is only derabbanan. It's not deraisa, it's Kinyan derabbanan. And the pasuk is somehow telling us, or alluding to us, that the way you own something, the way you grab something, the way something becomes yours, it's through yeshiva. It's with sitting in it. You sit down, it becomes yours.
Does that help in terms of, for instance, the get and everything? Because like at Chesed Sabbatim, we talk about 3 years and all that.
So that's a different type of chazaka. That's a different type of chazaka. The chazaka that we're talking about in our Gemara was the kinyan that you need, not to show that you were bailam, but the kinyan to make you now a bailam. Kinyan chazaka means if I want to sell a piece of property to you today, and we don't want to use money, we just want to, you know, do a chalois kinyan through the Torah. So you'd go over, you'd work the field, you'd close the door, you'd open the door, you go to a house, you close the door of the house, you open the door of the house, that makes the house yours. The question is, how do we know that? Where does it say that? All the kinyanim, you need to have a source for it. So the first one is a pasuk in Novi. It says in the pasuk, b'matafastim, how do you have tefis on something? How do you have grabbing, or so to say, ownership? Through sitting on it. So you sit down on the line that's yours. That at least is from Hefka, right. Now the next drasha is even more interesting. This is a pasuk in the Torah. Referring to Eretz Yisrael, it says we'll inherit Eretz Yisrael and we'll dwell there. We'll live there. Says the Gemara, "B'ma yirashtem? How do you get the Yerusha? How does it become yours?" So the Gemara, "B'yeshiva, to the act of sitting, that will make the land yours." So this second drush is stam as it has problems. The Marit asks, and there's a long piece of Beis Halevi and the Dvar Avram, the Kovner Rav has a piece. Why do we have to make a kinyan on Eretz Yisrael? That was ours automatically. We have to make a kinyan on Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara is learning from here that we all of Jews had to have made a kinyan on Eretz Yisrael in order for Eretz Yisrael to become ours. That's not true. We know that Eretz Yisrael was ours a long time ago. Why do we have to make a ma'aser kinyan? So that's the deal. So that's the big deal. Maybe we needed to do the kinyan was a chaluka, meaning it belongs to all of us, but we're not going to have a kibbutz type of lifestyle where everything is everyone's over here. We're not doing communism over here. We need to divide it. So if I want this land to be mine and this to be yours, we have to make a ma'aser kinyan. Okay, that's the pasha, the answer. The divide room.
Make a kinyan on a regular
Yerusha? No, Yerusha is automatically. The lashon of the Yerushalayim is, min ha-shamayim hiktulah, it's yours automatically. Yerusha is one of the examples of those things that are automatically yours. So that's why everyone was bothered over here. So why is it not true with Chalukas Eretz Yisrael? Chalukas Eretz Yisrael should have also been that way. So that's the discussion.
But somebody else is on it.
So that's the Shtickle Torah they want to thank, because you had to get the Goyim off of it first. And the Goyim had it now. So the question is, during their duration of the Goyim on it, did they really own it? Was it really theirs? Or was it always ours? They punked were on it. We got them off, and now we go back to it being ours. Meaning, when someone takes over your country, did you lose it, or just it's always yours, just you got conquered, so you kind of lost it? So that's a big discussion on the Gemara Kedushin of Chavav, to handle on Yerusha Seretz. Yeah.
Because
right?
Because that was through Muhammad.
Right.
So here we're saying that it's through
Chazaka,
not Muhammad.
Yeah. They retain this
kedusha.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. We can spend a lot of time just on this drush of Rabbi Shmuel. There's issues. There's the kash of on the Ramban. The Ramban sheet is Virashtamoy says the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Sefer, the Marit asks, 1 second, if you learn from this pasuk is mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, how can you learn from this pasuk is mitzvah that kinyan chazaka? You learn from the Yerash, the Moshe, that we all have a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's a separate kash that Marit asks on the Kiddushin of Chava.
Yeah, these questions, you started with the premise that it's easier to take from Hefker than it is from somebody else.
Possibly.
These questions would argue against it, the opposite. Because if you're claiming from Hefker, the question is going to be whether it's actually Hefker or not. There's always that question, there's always that doubt. You have no transaction with anybody, you're claiming it from something that's quote unquote ownerless, as the examples that you've given, but it's not necessarily ownerless and people may have a claim.
Okay.
When I'm transacting with you,
true.
I know that I know.
But I would call that a technical problem. Meaning really it's easier to get from Hefka. You're just saying, well, you don't always know if it's Hefka. You're right. That's a good point. But I'd call that a technical problem. If there'd be two Adam that watched this character for the last 10 years and they can vouch that this is good old fashioned Hefka. I think in that case it would be much easier to acquire.
A katan could acquire it from an adult, but it can't acquire it from him because he needs someone's das. Is that his point?
That could be. There is a chesed to get das acharis. Good. So again, my point was just to see, can we, and we will debate this in the Rishonim, is there a strong distinction between being kainah from another person through chazaka or being kainah from hefker? Now, the psukim that we have over here, how do you learn the psukim? When we were conquering land, was that conquering land from Hefker? Did the enemies run away and now the land is Hefker?
It wasn't from the enemy.
Right. We're not claiming it from an enemy. We're kind of taking it back from them. Now, what's interesting about both these drushes are, none of these drushes have anything to do about closing a door, opening a door, working the land, nothing garnished. All this talks about is actually the Gemara Baba Basra. The Gemara Basra is beautiful. Sit, that's it. All you got to do is sit. You sit in the land, it becomes yours. So if you want to be kind of kinyan chazaka in the house, you walk into the guy's kitchen, you sit in his kitchen. That's how you claim it. Maybe not in his table. I don't know. You have to bring in your own table, which is actually a discussion in the Rishonim over here. But where did we see anything that what we talked about last week? Opening the Mishnah Baba Basra. Na'a, close the door. Where do we see closing the doors anything? So you can tell me all the stars showing bailas all you want, but if the source of it is this Gemara and Kedushin with these two psukim, and they both talk about sitting, where do you see anything else except for sitting?
But it was land.
Right, so a house is also land.
How do you define what you see?
That's the question. What is included in yeshiv? When the psukim talk about b'mat yeshiva.
That means we're settling rather than.
Okay, good. So that's what we need to see.
The land is sitting, but you have to open the.
Possibly, maybe. It might. You have to be able to expand on what yeshiva means in the context
so
of the pasuk.
Why aren't we just looking to Bereishit? Why aren't we looking to Avram and dwelling and
Avram Avinu, from what?
Wells. Put you're at settling the land, right? We're talking about settling. So what did Abram do? Wells were dug in order to show ownership.
Correct.
So why couldn't you argue that those psukim are proof to the doors or the fences or the security alarms or whatever you want to argue?
I'm okay with that. But why does the Gemara say that? I'm okay with that. But if the Gemara was going to... The Gemara asks Minolan, how do you know this Kenyan? So the Gemara should have answered. Like you're saying, it's psukim and Bereishis, whatever it is. Obviously the Gemara felt... Oh, okay. So that's the second question. Why didn't? So that's a good question. For whatever reason, either because we don't learn our things, even though we do learn our things from Avraham Avinu. That's the first Perek Kedushin. Kicha kicha mistei Ephron. We do learn our things. So maybe for whatever reason, the Gemara felt that's not the source.
You see, Wells isn't necessarily this case because when Yitzhak did Wells, they argued with him and he moved on. He didn't. The fact that he dug a well, he didn't necessarily acquire that land.
Istamaze.
Pushed him, argued with him, and he moved to the next land until he could get it uncontested.
Yeah, so again, it's hard to know. My point over here is just what I'm working with, what the Gemara gives us. The Gemara gives us these two drashas, one in Navi, one in the Torah. Neither of them seem to fit the theory that we've been using last week. So the truth is the Rashbam, in number 4 in Baba Basra, speaks this out clearly. The Rashbam says, what does it mean, hatsas mitzois? You put in your bed, v'shachav sham al akarka, and you sleep there. B'nech se ager, you camp out in the ger's property. V'yaf agav deloy hainu na'av agedu peretz, frekter Rashbam arkasha. What type of Kenyan Chazak is this? It doesn't fit any of the criteria that we learned last week. You're not opening, you're not closing, you're not fixing, not doing anything. Shalitikun shum tikun karka. You're not fixing anything in the land by putting your bed there. Elo shenena gufay min hakarka. A new rule. You're getting pleasure from the land. You're deriving direct pleasure from the land. Shesham shase hakarka. The karka is working for you. Have a chazaka. That's a new chazak. So we have a new description. A new description of Kenyan Chazak is not only fixing or improving the land, but is getting hanah from the actual land itself.
Even if it's owned by someone else. But
right now it's talking about by its Nechse Ager. So it's ownerless. Okay. Right now it's ownerless. Now you're going to ask me, what happens if I want to sell it to you? Let's say I don't want to sell it to you using the same tactic. Would that work? So we'll have to see in a second.
But that could take too much time.
Why does it take so much time?
You
don't have to do the whole thing. You put one bed somewhere in the whole property, and you're good to go. How long do you have to sleep? You have to sleep a whole night, an hour, a nap? I don't know. But you have to show some hanah. The way the Rashbam defines this new kinyan chazaka, this is called yunena from the guf hakarka. There's a big machloekis we're
trying to. If you're walking, but that
doesn't. Good. That's the Rashba's kasha. The Rashba's going to ask 1 second. So who needs beds? Lie down on the floor. What do you need a bed for?
It's holding you up from falling.
So we're going to see. The Rashba has a similar kasha.
Tree,
there's a big machloekis we're trying to hear, which we're not getting into. We're just going to mention. Between the Rambam and the Rav. What happens if I go over to, let's say a guy wants to sell me his fruit, his trees. So I go over to the trees and I eat the fruit. I'm oichel the peris of trees. Is that kinyan chazaka? So this is a very big machloekis we're trying between the Rambam and the Rav. The Rambam thinks that's good enough for kinyan chazaka. I walk over to your tree, I pull off an apple, I eat the apple. That's kinyan chazaka. Ravid says, no, it's not the same thing. So that's the question. Is this called eating a fruit tree, eating a fruit from a tree, is that called nenem agufa karka, or that's not? Is that called...
He wanted to sell it to you?
Yeah, he wants to sell it to you. Either one.
What's the consideration for the sale?
Would that be considered fitting into one of the criteria of Kenyan Chazaka? If you go over to the tree, instead of doing anything to the tree, you just take an apple off the tree and eat the apple. Would that be a Kenyan on the whole tree?
Well, how is that a sale? Why isn't that just showing...
You paid him.
No, you don't need anything.
No, you don't need.
The money does is not kindness. Let's hold Moses is not kindness. The only reason why you give money is because you got to be crazy to do things without money, right? Money is not created. This Kenyan Chazaka on its own creates the chalos. Now, what is Kenyan Chazaka?
Then you would own the
So I walk over to the tree and I just take an apple off the tree. Now I own this whole fruit, whatever. I own all the trees because I ate one apple or not. Is eating a fruit from a tree enough of a Kenyan Chazaka on the tree itself? That's Machlokes Rambam and Raif.
So how I mean it wouldn't be. You have to go into the land. Yep.
So is that called being nene from the guf hakarka? That's the question. Are you being nene from the actual? You're being nene from the tree. You're being nene from the pre. Is the pre a part of the guf hakarka? All right, that's the question. They're two separate entities. They happen to be on the same thing. It happens to be that apples are growing on a tree. But if we want to talk about benefit from the tree. Yeah, if you go over and rip a piece of the bark off and eat it, so then yeah, then you're nene from the guf hakarka. But what is about a fruit that grows on the tree? Is that called being nana from the gufa karka? That's not. That's a big machloekes rishonim. So we're going to see a little bit rishonim want to discuss. Is that relevant to the case over here with the bets? But that's what I want from this Rashbam is Rashbam adds two very important lines. Says Rashbam, v'nira be'enai de mehoche yafinon. Now the Rashbam is bothered with a kasha. 1 second. I just made up a new lumdus. I made up a lumdus that there's a kinyan chazaka called being nana from the gufa karka. Where did I get that from? Again, I just told you it doesn't fit into all the other types of chazaka. So how do I taka know it? Says the Rashbam. I learned it from the psukim. The nafklon karka nikta b'chazaka b'kedushim me'akra. Because how do we know that karka is ever acquired by chazaka from our pasuk? V'shavu ba'areich ma'ashet fastem atvastem b'yeshiva. Oy nizich sevi rashdim. Oy sevi shavte b'avam. Oy rashdim b'yeshiva. V'haynu b'chal yeshiva kesheshechev ala karka. Says the Rashbam. That's ma'ash beautiful. Our Gemara Baba Basra is perfect with the drushes. All the drushes talk about sitting. So sitting, laying, same thing. So it's very nice. You're right, Rashbam, that we learn from these two psukim that one of the ways to make kinyan chazaka is through sitting or laying. But how then do you learn out all the other types of chazaka? You can't learn them all out from the same drasha. We want to come out today and say there's three ways to make kinyan chazaka. You open a door, you close the door, you fix the land, you show ownership, you sleep, and you rest. And they're all learned out from these two psukim that talk about sitting. You're right. The Gemara Baba Basra is very meduyik from the psukim. But how do you learn out all the other types of kinyan chazaka that we've been talking about from those psukim? So the Ritva by Austin Kedushin comes to answer this kasha. The Ritva says, I guess, in number 5. Pirush. Umehai krosh amin and shapit trei dine chazaka. Says Ritva from this psukim in the Torah that the Gemara quotes, we can learn at two types of chazaka. That's our question. Our question is, how do you? All you see is the one type. You see the sitting, the resting, the laying. You don't see the improving. It says the Ritva, how? Tikkun bekarka v'tashmish begufay. What the Ritva calls the two types of kinyan chazaka is one is improving and one is using or benefiting. How do you see both the things from the psukim? Shari tov sula arim lahem ul mikneim. Says it's when they grab the land. Why do you think they grab these cities? Just for their personal benefit? No. They needed it for their animals, their cars, right? It wasn't just for them. Umashi yoshvu heim kanu b'yeshiva. So when they sat down on the property and they sat themselves down, so that's domya de mitzias mitzvah menechse agia. That was the first type of kinyan. They came into the city and they sat down. They rested. They took a nap. So that was the first type of kinyan, yeshiva sakarka, which is being nana from the actual karka. Umasha also the mikneim kanu b'tikin. Says before, you think they stopped after that? No. After, then they came into the land and they started building fences. They had to. Or the animals are just going to run wild. So therefore, the loisagi shleitil gidris l'tzoneim. Says before, they must have built walls to protect the animals. So that was the second element of kinyan chazaka, says the Ritva. So you see, both kinyanim I learned that from the pasuk.
Well, maybe you need both instead of one.
So if so, maybe you need both. And secondly, so good, let's go back to the closing the door one. So back to how do you know closing the door? They didn't close anything. They did close doors. The problem with this shtickle Torah of the Ritva is that
away the piece of food off a tree.
It doesn't fit into the pasuk. Maybe you'll tell me it was a secondary action that they did, but it's not what the Torah says. The Torah says the Gemara's drash is be yeshiva. You tell me it was be yeshiva, and then there was something else. So again, it's a shtickle tzarechin how the Ritva is answering his question. His question is a great question. How do you learn the two types of kinyan chazaka from one pasuk that only talks about one? Says Ritva, because you have to be a little bit more open minded with the drash. You have to say to yourself, yes, they came in and they left and they sat there. But that wasn't, you can't just sit in the land, you have to put up walls and fences and build things. Oh, so included in their tefastim was all of this. That you don't see from the psukim.
It was there, but who said that was a
why kalachoyma?
Because the simplest thing to do is just to walk on somebody's land and take a nap. I mean, it doesn't really show anything. You could be
tired.
Tired and people sleeping, that doesn't really mean anything.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily show ownership. It doesn't show that you've removed it from somebody else's
right.
Violence.
Right.
But if that works, then certainly building fences or doing other things which actually change the status of the property.
Again, but you're saying you're right. Of course, it's not anywhere in the psukim, but it's once I know this works, this definitely works. Now, again, to me, the Ritva sounds like he's saying he's trying to kvetch this into the psukim. He's trying to say that when the Torah wrote sit in the land, it didn't just mean sit for yourself, it meant sit. And then the follow up to sitting, what's the follow up to sitting? You can't just sit in the land, that's not going to work. So you then have to build things. So somehow in these psukim, it includes all of that. It's hard to understand how it fits into the psukim.
Again, it would include it, but who's to say that it's a necessary component of the kinyan?
Right, 100%.
Later,
right? They had to do a lot of things. They also had to open up.
The kinyan didn't happen.
They also had to open up shuls and they had to have big voice and put up an eruv. Right? They do a lot of things. They had to start a vad. There are a lot of things they had to do. Right? That doesn't mean that's all kinyan chazaka. Right? So again, this is a tzarachim.
So did Ritva say that you need both?
He's acknowledging that they're both options. Because the Gemara say they both work. The problem is, how can we learn out two very different procedures from one Jerusha that seems to be only going with one type of Kenyan? That's really the Ritva's question.
Why should it be options as opposed to both? Why should it be A or B? What does it have to mean? Both?
You want to suggest that maybe you have to do both?
Yeah.
Meaning that... Right. The answer to that is that the Gemaras are clearly not like that. From all the Gemaras that we have that have discussed Kenyan Chazaka, they don't say it's only one way.
But if using and scarf to get the
right, exactly, 100%.
You should need both because they did this and this, and that's what the
right. The Ritva himself is addressing the idea that he knows good and well that there's two types of kinyan chazaka. He says, because look around in Shas, you go through Gemara Babasa, Gemara Gittin, you see clearly that there are different methods of doing it. His question is, how can you have two different methods learned from one pasuk that are discussing one type of thing? Again, to me, the Kash is better than the Teretz.
So why are we struggling to make it?
Yeah. They talk about this.
So when he's saying, Vishabul Varechem, that's one. Vishabul Varechem. And then, Asher Tfastem is the second one.
Yeah.
So he's not saying, it's not a leap, he's just saying there are two limudim from
right.
The pasuk.
I think you're right. Right, and they actually point this out, the Ma'arit points this out. This is bedafka why the first pasuk is better than the second pasuk.
And that's why he's only going
right. That's why the Ritva, that's why they like the first drush, even though it's from Navi, as opposed to the second pasuk, which is in the Torah, which you think, why would you pick one over the other, besides for the kasha of the makna about the Ramban Shita, because in the second pasuk you have an extra word of tefastem. That extra pasuk of tefastim gives you more of a expanded version of what you can do. Not just yeshiva, but even tefastim, which means you built the fences and things like that. That's what the Achren and Taka point out in the Ritva, why the Ritva went with the first pasuk instead of the second pasuk.
Why aren't we not just claiming this to be the Rabbanan instead of the right? Why struggling? Why are we torturing the text?
Well, because the Gemara clearly says it's learned from Psukim. So if it's learned from Psukim, it should have to fit the narrative of the Psukim.
Well, then it keeps struggling with finding the Psukim. I mean,
right,
it's nice to say that, but then if you're all over the board trying to find Psukim and you're really perhaps not doing justice to Psukim, maybe you reach the conclusion that maybe that's
again
not
that
right conclusion.
That could be true, but we need the Gemara to do that. Even though, again, there is a big machlokes Rishonim over here, if Kinyan Chazak is a Kinyan Deraisa or Kinyan Derabanan, the Rosh and Baba Kama writes that Kinyan Chazak is a Kinyan Deraisa. Now you have to ask yourself, where does he see that? From the first pasuk or the second pasuk, maybe. The first pasuk, for sure not. First pasuk is a pasuk in Yirmiyah. How's that going to be Kinyan Deraisa?
No, but I think he would say that how would they do something so fundamental as Yishuv Eretz Yisrael with the Rabbanan? It must be Deraisa, and the evidence is that that's how they were calling Eretz Yisrael. There's no way they would use some made up.
They can't make up a new din. So we just reveal a din Deraisa that exists.
That's the old question. Good. We'll have to get to it whatever. In the next sugim, Mr. Shem, we're going to talk about Kinyan Agav. We're going to have the same question. Whenever you have drushes from the Psukim about Kinyanim, does that mean that as far as the Torah is concerned they don't exist, or the idea of Kinyanim is Deraisa? It's open ended to what that means, and the Navi comes and fills in the blanks of what it means. Okay, that's something we need to talk about. But I just want to point out over here the Rashba and Baba Basra number 6. The reason why we're going through all this is just because I know Dafyam is going to get to Baba Basra soon, probably faster than we get to the next sugya. But and you'll go through Baba Basra and you'll see various types of kinyan chazakas throughout the Masechta. And every time you come up, you have to ask yourself, which one is it? Is it Tikkun HaKarka? Is it a Shimur? Is it Hanof from the Guf HaKarka? That's why it's important to try to get a better handle on how kinyan chazaka works. It's really Negeya to how it works by Nevet Kanani. Which we're not going to get into, but the Gemara that we started off with in Baba Basra, where the Eved Kanani takes off your shoe, puts on your shoes, all those types of things, that's all types of Kinyan Chazaka. The Rishonim point out, let's say you tell the Eved just to clean the floor. That might not be Kinyan Chazaka. Let's say you tell the Eved to do something completely stupid. You tell him, take 100 books and walk around the room with it, holding it on your head. That's not Kinyan Chazaka. Because there's no Hana. You get nothing out of that. In order for Kinyan Chazaka is not just what we keep saying, Haraz Bios. Of course I showed Bios. I showed you army control. I made you walk around the room holding 100 books for no reason. So Rishonim point out, that's not Kinyan Chazaka. Kinyan Chazaka means you're getting some benefit of it. So if let's say you have a messy room and you tell the Eved clean up the room, so I'm getting Hana, or maybe you can debate it, that considered Hana from his mice and whatever it is. But just that's the case that the Gemara gives. Take off a shoe, put on a shoe. Those are all Hana.
The is showing that you can order somebody.
No,
that
no.
Is the real
no, Hana. It's not. Exactly. That's what the Gemara is saying. The Hana is not sufficient. Right, that's what you need. You need Hana's miguf ha'Eved. You need that you're getting direct. That's the whole Shiloh with the Ram. Is that sufficient? Right. Or it has to be that when he takes off my shoe and he puts on my shoe, I'm directly connected to the Hana that I'm getting. When he walks around holding 100 books, yeah, I feel like a Baal HaBos, I feel like $1 million, but that's not good enough. That's a very important nekuda the Rishonim speak out in Kiddushin. That for a Kinyan Eved, it has to work, because it's doimah to the case of Hatzos Mitos. The way it works by the bed is because I'm getting pleasure from the bed. So I have to get pleasure from the Eved. That's the Katsushta that Gemara makes. Just very big kid, so again, I really wanted to get the Kinyan Agav today, but you just have to see the Rashba Baal HaBos, very interesting Rashba. The Rashba asks, how does this whole thing with the beds work? So the Rashba number 6, Kloima Shehitsa Mitzas Aleihem V'Shochav. He puts the beds out and he sits on them. A Yashav Aleihem, or he lays on the beds, Kana. Why? The Fishenena Gufoy Miguf HaKarka. Because he's deriving direct pleasure from the land. So Kinyan Chazaka is the Rashba, Rashbam's definition of new type of Kinyan Chazaka. When you're deriving direct pleasure from the land. Says the Rashba, ve'ena doy melachilas aperus she'ena chazaka. And it's not like eating the fruits of the tree where most Rishonim hold that's not kinyan chazaka. Why? Says the Rashba, because there's a split between the peiros and the karka. We don't look at them as one big entity. The Rama maybe looks at it as one big entity. So then I'm getting nena from the whole karka. Says the Rashba, we don't look at it like that. We look at it as the peiros and the karka, two separate things. So I'm being nena from the peiros and not being nena from the gufa karka. Okay, good. That's something we can think about and debate. Then the Rashba goes further, and the Rashba says, v'ani tema. Says Rashba, I don't understand this whole pshat in the Gemara. Imkein, my time in Okit Yitzhar Mitzos. Who needs beds? I feel Yoshev al Karka. Let him go lay on the ground. Leave out the beds. Why does he have to slap beds onto the land? If you tell me it's he's Nana from the Gufa Karka, so lay on the ground and he'll be Nana from the Gufa Karka.
It's not direct. It's also indirect. It's like payrolls. With the Mita, it's worse. It's more like payrolls.
Okay, but the Rashba has no problem with that. The Rashba has no problem. The Rashba's not asking what. Rashba's saying for carrot. The Rashba's saying is what's the mile? Not because it's indirect or indirect. He's saying because the point is you're deriving pleasure. You derive pleasure whether there's a bed there or not a bed there. You're enjoying the land.
So I'm enjoying the bed. Bed has to be on the land. It's payros.
So Zog the Rashba.
It's better to be no land. No.
So let's see what the Rashba says. Zog the Rashba. He quotes the Gemara in Kedushin all the psukim. He says ve'efsher. In middle he says ve'efsher the choshe shochav agabe karka ein zederech ano. Not that very enjoyable to lay on the ground. That's not called being nana from the gufa karka. You got a rock in your back, you got dirt on you. That's not hanah from the actual shchiva. Okay, so that's one pshat.
He had this beautiful stream in the middle and he's walking, so he's having hanah from the karka.
Maybe, and a chanami. That might work as well. According to the Rishonim's definition of kinya chazaka is being nana from the gufa karka. So if he has taka something like that, it would work as well.
Yeah, but if we go back to the beginning of the discussion, which had to do with the doors and whatever, we're talking about concepts where I'm taking an action that is going to be in contrast to somebody else's claim of ownership. If I'm doing this, it shows evidence that I own it. I'm exerting control. When you're dealing with concepts of hana, it's not necessarily in contradiction to somebody else's claim. So
yes.
So how does it prove anything? Just because I have enough, this doesn't mean that I'm exercising control in contrast to somebody else. It's not inconsistent with somebody else owning the property just because I'm enjoying myself.
So that might be where the distinction is drawn between if I'm getting it from someone else or I'm only getting it from Hefker. So we'll get to that in 1 second. I just want to finish this Rashba and we'll talk about this idea. But the Rashba has another pshat in the Gemara. Listen to this one. So the Rashba, v'yesh mishapirish, hatzah mitzois, sheyapa harkarka b'hatzahs mitzois. None of this new svara of being nana from the gufa karka, none of those things are svaras. When you put down these mats, you're improving the ground. Now, why is it such a geshmak pshat? Because the fiza, there's no two types of kinyan chazaka anymore. It's only one type. It's all improving. Somehow, laying down mats improve the ground. Okay, I don't exactly understand it, but the Rashba says in a second he doesn't understand it either. But if you say it like this, then it answers all the kashas. We're trying to figure out where's the two types of kinyan chazaka. The answer is there's no two types of kinyan chazaka. There's only one kinyan chazaka. It's tikkun, tikkun, tikkun. Again, now you'll ask me, so where do you see that in the Pesukim?
So why do you have to sleep on it? Why would you have to sleep
right,
on it?
Right. That's a good kasha.
Why would you even add that in?
Good. The fida, you just bring the beds on and you leave it. How's the lashon of the Gemara? The Gemara say you sleep on it? Hamatzia mitzos. Means you put the beds in. Right, I can bring the beds in. And we have an idea. Rashi, that's what the Rashbam added. Vishachav shom. And you talk to sleep there. That was Rashbam so yourself. You have to sleep there. According to this pshat, you don't have to sleep there. You bring the beds in, you fix the land, you go home. The mile of this pshat is you answer up the kasha where you have the two types of kinyan chazak. The problem a little bit with this is good. But where do you see tikkun hakarka? In the psukim, in the yoshaftabah, where do you see tikkun?
And if we're saying that whatever this form of chazak, whatever action you're taking, it has to be some form of improvement on
that's right
to show bialos.
Correct.
That would mean that if you show if the action causes any destruction to the land, it would not cause.
So there
would not
is,
be a chazaka.
So there is a discussion in the Gemara as well as when you do that type of ownership of damage that only an owner would type of do.
Right.
That might also be a way of showing ownership. Because normally you don't go around to other people's property and trash it unless you're the owner.
But then you're saying that the point is to indicate.
Again, same problem. That's a kash we had last time.
Who said that's the point?
That's right. Now the Rashba ends up saying he doesn't like this track because he doesn't think it's true. He doesn't think you're miyapa the karka. But the only problem is if you learn like this Rishonim, that's all about miyapa hakarka. The Tosafot Rashi asks. So how does it work with sitting? Where do you improve the land when you sit in the land? Yeah. So the Tesir Rosh says, no, you don't just sit, no one just sits on land. Whenever you sit in the land, you take over the land, you right away make changes to the land. So even though, yes, the psukim don't say explicitly that you're doing this tikkun hakaka, it's included in yeshiva. When a person moves into something, you don't just move into the house, you don't touch anything. You always change this, and you fix this, you improve it. You're always improving things. So that yipoy is somehow included in the yeshiva sakak. Well, like similar to what the Ritva said, but he's just saying it's Tamaz, the Tesir Rosh is saying, according to all this pshatim that you hold, that the Yisrael is tikkun hakarka, and not just improve it, and not just hana, you have to kvetch it into the psukim. Just to wrap up with Kinyan Chazaka, again, we barely scratched the surface of Kinyan Chazaka, but just to wrap up with a very Yisraelistic Shittal Anoid Lami, maybe a Kinyan Chazaka. There's a very important Shittal Anoid Lami in Kedushin over here on Daf Chavov. The Shita asks a very fundamental question that later Achreinim asked as well. He asks like this, Vim Toimer, Hechi Nafkol and Chazaka B'mecha Mehasim. The whole Mikar of Kinyan Chazaka that we have, that if I want to sell $1 million piece of property to someone today, and I don't want to use money, and I don't want to use a shtar, and I want to use Kinyan Chazaka, I can do that, legally. If I want to sell $1 million piece of property, all you need to do is go over to the house, close the door, open the door, whatever the various place can you hold like, and the house is yours. How do you know such a Kinyan? So we have the Pesukim Ma'asim Kedushin, from by Gedalia or by the Pasuk V'Yirash Tamayisim. Asks the Shita Lezimi, how did you make that jump? There's a big difference. One is talking about Hefker, and one is talking about when there's another party involved. Maybe when there's another party involved, Mekuch Memkar, maybe you need different, stronger, whatever word you want to use. Frek the Shita, Dilma Hefker Shani. Maybe Hefker is different. Like the Gemara Baba Basra was talking about Hefker. The Karni B'Chazaka called Duhu. Maybe you don't need so much of a Kinyan. You don't need that much of what we call Haraz Bailas. The Afilu Hashi, the Kamel, the Chazaka Kanya, even though now Lamaisa, we pass and it does work, but Mecha Shani Lame Mecha Lehefker, there is a halachic difference between being Kaina Hefka with Kinyan Chazaka and being Kaina from another human being with Kinyan Chazaka. Because when it comes to mecher, you have to actually improve it. Says the Shita, you see that the two types of distinct kinyanim. All right, when it comes to being kind from hefker the gemara baba basra, all you got to do is put in a bed. When it comes to buying property, you got to close the door. So you see they're different. So if they are different, how do you have the right to learn them both out from the same pasuk? That's the Shita's kash.
So the form of Chazaka is greater by Mekar.
Right, he's assuming that you need more to transfer bias by Mekuch Memkar than you need by Hefka.
I would think it would be the opposite.
Right, let's look at the Gemaras. The Gemara talks about putting in a bed, which we assume is a very simple activity. It's not that much involved in the Kinyan. All you do is put a bed in, or you sleep or don't sleep in it, as opposed to having to be Mesakin, fixing the actual Karka. That sounds like from the Shita's a bigger type of a Kinyan, a stronger Kinyan. So this is what he says. Mari Dika answer. He says, Yeshloi Mar, Shem Chazaka Nafkalo Mikra. What we learn from these psukim is this title, that Amaisa Kinyan Chazaka is Kare. This is a very Achrenisha type of talk from the Shita Lanei Dilmi, assuming he was a Rishon, which is all up for debate as well, but assuming he was a Rishon, the Shita Lanei Dilmi says, no. The way this works is that the way the Torah alludes to us, a Kinyan called Kinyan Chazaka. Now, Vigarmina Minei Lamecha. And we then learn it out to say, well, if Kinyan Chazaka works by Hefker, Kinyan Chazaka works by buying and selling as well. Why? If I see when it comes to Hefker, I just need to do a little bit of usage. And there's no one else involved. There's no other party's ownership here. As long as I show something, that's enough to be a Kinyan Chazaka. So, b'mechanami kanya. It's the same thing why I purchase. Chazaka haruyibo. Kirain shu misakim begufish akarka. Tolei michzi haylei keach kemoitzi mishis odin lahachzik bo. Pahatzos mitzoyis ukiyotze bo. So what it sounds like from the Shita Lai Demi is saying is like this. The Yisoid of Kinyan Chazaka is haras by this. That's the lomdus. And somehow we learn that out from the pasuk. But then you have to go case by case and figure out how do I go about doing that? Which activities, as per the case, will give off that impression of I'm acting as an owner? When I go over to Nichsei Hager, but there's no other owner. So I don't need to do that much to prove I'm the owner. All I got to do is show up, set up shop, and that's enough to show that I'm now taking over this Hefka property. However, says the Shita, when I want to get it out of someone else, so now I need to do something that shows more type of an ownership. I have to express my ownership in a stronger way. It's some type of a svar that but his premise is a little hard to understand. His premise is somehow from the Torah we learn there's a Kinyan called Kinyan Chazaka, and that Kinyan means Haraz Bailas. And every case it will depend on how or what you need to show that Bailas.
Is that Chazal determines that, or society, whatever the normal business
practice. Right, that's what we still had trouble with. Exactly, who defines what looks like ownership? That was the Rambam, the way the Kesef Mishnah learned the Rambam, is that normal people open and close doors. So you have to close it, then open it, then reopen it. Sometimes it's from Kivega we had last week, from Kivega and Achuva, that it has to be clear from the action, not the way you explain the action. So that is unclear still to me, who's going to define it. What the Shitlo Neidlmi is learning over here, is he's learning that the Psukim tell us, Kenyan called Haraz Bailas. And then we have to figure out in each case how or what is going to show that bias. Again, this is all a little bit hard for me to understand, but so this is a little bit of a hakdoma to Kinyi Chazaka throughout Bava Basra.
Which Basra teaches you that?
I don't know. I really don't. I don't know where you see that from the Psukim.
Do
I don't see it. You don't see anything about the Psukim about the alumnus. I think you see from the Psukim of physical action. The Sheet alone is saying the Psukim are megal to alumnus. Alumnus called Kinyi Chazaka, then you expand it. You don't see that from the Psukim. You see from the Psukim a clear cut action.
Right,
yeshiva.
However, he's learning. The way he's learning, you should only need one pasuk, and then you don't need the other pasuk, because once you have this idea in Svara or Midrash
right.
or Chazaka, that's you don't need
right, it. Right. Well, that's not a question. Why does the Gemara bring down two pasukim? Are the two pasukim arguing on each other? Are they mechazik each other?
But
you can ask that.
I thought you needed the hefker and the mechazik.
No. The Rishonim are saying you can all get it all in one pasuk. Those Rishonim that learned it, it's all from one pasuk.
But just like he's willing to say, he's willing to acknowledge that we only see it by hefker. But he's going to assume that the Torah must mean that we apply it to non-hefker. Why can't you say, I only see it by karka, but I will assume, therefore, I can apply it to metaltalim. We don't say that.
Right. Okay. That's
why
true.
Why do I know that I can't? Why do I know where to expand it and where to not expand it?
Right. That's the question.
The
so because according to him, his understanding of the way, right, his understanding of the way Kinyan Chazaka works, it shouldn't matter in the guf hakarka what type of karka it is.
So it shouldn't matter in the type of item it is. It should be a metal. I can be kona things.
Okay,
a
good.
Thing
so that's a fundamental question throughout Daf Chavav, where the Gemara goes to all the different things that we learn out, and you have to ask yourself, well, maybe it's only this, maybe it's only that. That's a good question. And learning the sugya over there, when we'll talk more about Kinyan Agave, how much do we take out of the storyline versus how much we take out of the alumnus Shabbat? Okay, this was really just supposed to be just a hakdama for Kinyan Chazaka. Let's really get into today's shir, the real sugya for today. Yeah, that was just, that was for fun. Okay, that was for fun. Okay, let's get back to the real sugya that we're holding in our sugya. The Gemara Be'os and Gin told us a story about a Shriv Meira who needed to get to his wife. He had the get written, he was signed, he had Adam, everything was perfect. The only problem is, how do we get the get to her? It was sitting in his drawer in his office, and she can't pick up the get is muktzah, she's not near the get, whatever the story is. How are we going to get the get to become hers so he doesn't die and makes her fall to Yibam? So the Gemara said, I have a great idea. Tell her, Zakti Gemara, tell her to go and make a kinyi chazaka on the place where the get is resting. So let's say, for example, the get was resting in his house. She'll make a kinyan chazaka on his house. She'll own the house. She owns the house. She owns the get, and everything is perfect. Now, how exactly does that work? What was the chap over here of Rav to make her be kind of the karka, and by being kind of the karka, she then owns the get? So I'm sure most of us are thinking the simple ways. No, Agav is the simple way. Now, you guys are too alumnish for me.
Chatzer.
You guys are alumnish. Okay, chatzer. If you want to make the get hers, so how do we make the get hers? So you told me the property now belongs to her. So the property belongs to her, the gets in the chatzar, kinyan chatzar. That would be the pashat way of learning the Gemara. And that fixes all the problems. The problem was, how do we make the get hers without her being kind of the get? The answer is perfect. You put it in her chatzar, now it's her chatzar, she owns the get.
By getting, you can't have it coming the wrong way.
What do you mean by the wrong way?
That she can't own, the get can't be there.
Ah. Okay, good. That's the shach's problem. We'll have to get to that in a second. But most Rishayim learned the Gemara that it's simple. Kinyan chatzar.
Why can't you naga?
No, I'll get to that in a second. Zakrashi number 8. Harezu Chazaka. Zakrashi. So she makes a Kinyan Chazaka on the property. Liknois. To acquire the land. She'ein ha-moicha yochal achzaba. To the extent that the seller can't be chayzer. So Gusman has a kasha over here. What is Rashi throwing in this line over here? This has nothing to do with anything. Yeah, that's what it means to own something. That means the other person can't go back. That's what Kinyan is. The idea of a Kinyan is that the other party can't retract. That has nothing to do with our conversation over here in this Gemara and Gittin. Why exactly Rashi throws this in? Okay, that's what Gusman's Ara. So Rashi, the hashta koyov lachatzer v'gita b'seicha. Now you're giving her the chatzer with the get in it. Okay, it sounds like Rashi's going the direction of chatzer. Utanan, we learned in the Mishnah and Kedushin, the chasim she'en l'machrayis, nicknamed the chasim she'esh l'machrayis, b'kesef b'shtar v'chazaka. Then Rashi ruins it. So Rashi says, how's this all working? It's working with Kenyan Agav. Rashi says, so how does this Kenyan work? Is when this lady goes and makes a kinyan on the karka. She now owns the karka and the get as well, not through kinyan chatzar, but through another kinyan that the Gemara describes as kinyan agav. When you're kind of one thing, if I want to sell you property and metaltalin, so the Gemara says you make a kinyan on the property, you get the metaltalin as well. Now, a little, just a very, very brief hakdama. I'm not sure if we're going to talk more about this at length. That the Gemara has a shaila. You need what's called siburin. Siburin means, do I need to have the metaltalin piled up on the karka? So that's an example. I want to sell you a furnished house. So I want to sell you the house and the furniture in the house. So do I have to go around making a kinyan on all the pieces of the furniture? So the Gemara says, no. If I makni the house, I'll make a kinyan on the door, I'll close the door, and I'll get the furniture as well. What kinyan? That's called kinyan agaf. But what happens if I want to sell you property in New York and metaltalin in L.A.? Not even near each other. And you'll make a kinyan on the property, we'll get the metaltalin. So the Gemara is a whole suffix about it back and forth. And the Gemara comes out, yes, that works as well. But if you're going to do that, you have to speak out clearly that when being a nice kinyan on the karka, I want it to go with the metaltalin that are in another place. If the metaltalin and the karka are in the same spot, I don't need to speak anything out. I just make a kinyan on the karka, I get the metaltalin, package deal. But if the metaltalin are in New York and the karka is in LA, and I make a kinyan karka, and then I have to speak out explicitly that with this kinyan karka, I want to be cutting the metaltalin as well. Okay, that's a quick haktam.
You get the chutzner, everything that's in it.
That's right.
Why
that's
is that different from agav?
Oh, very good. That's a big kasha that we're showing them at. They say, one second. If Nahava means the Gemara, why is kinyan agav any different than kinyan chutzner? It's really the same thing. So if you don't need siburin, if you don't need it to be piled on top of it, then there's a big difference. But in the Nahava means the Gemara, that every kinyan agav works with the karka, with the metatlan being on the karka, so that's kinyan chutzner. What difference is that?
I don't know what the difference is, but there's one major difference here.
Yeah.
You know, it's when you're kind of kinyan chutzner. So it's a two-step process. In other words, if you it depends. If you're saying it's sibur and whatever's on top of it, so one is, I'm kind of this, and automatically I'm kind of. The other one is, I'm kind of this, and oh, you know what, I'm also kind of that. It's a separate step.
Putting lumbness aside, that doesn't...
No, right, I'm saying what they're with the nafkamin.
Well, I'm not sure, first of all, I'm not sure if that's true in lumbness, which we need to talk about. And second, but what's the practical nafkamin? The Gemara has a whole umid and a half of conversation. Do you need siburim or don't you need siburim? So all the Rishonim ask, what's the shaila? On the tzad that you need siburim, so this kinyan is a fancy kinyan chazaka, right? That's what it is. You need to have it on top. So it's a fancy kinyan chazaka. So what's this new kinyan called kinyan agav? That's a good kasha. Billy Ned will talk more about it. I hope.
What's the problem with being kohen again in the first place? And whatever that problem is, there might be a difference between chutzner and agav. We say kinyan agav. Does it mean that the kinyan make worse for the thing, or that it doesn't need a kinyan? So if the problem is
very good.
And agav doesn't need a kinyan, then that would solve the problem.
That's a very fundamental chakir that we need to talk about next week, hopefully. How does kinyan agav work?
Is the pshat
that it's a package deal? So you get one and automatically you get the other? Or the pshat is that the kinyan on A works for B? And it's kilu, I made a kinyan on the second thing, or the second thing doesn't need a kinyan. This is a very fundamental chakir that all the achreidim, you know, from like the 1700s and on, declared this chakir or kinyan agav. Okay, Belina, the next week we'll get a little bit more into the lumps of kinyan agav. If we can get any more sidetracked off the sugya, we'll talk about kinyan agav. But just. No.
Not by a get or anything else. He can't be maskir. In other words, the get or whatever it is, it's a zechiyah and he's calling it for her benefit. In this way, it's
not her benefit.
No, that's not going to work.
Oh, it is.
No, it's not going to work. Now, normally the Gemara says it's a chayv.
She wants it.
I say it, right?
Yeah, that's not going to work. No, we got to get away. The agenda of the Gemara is we got to figure out a way to make this get belong to her. How do we get this into her rishas? So Rashi learned you do kinyan agav. So what's wrong with Rashi's version? So if you look in the Rishonim, they had seemingly two different problems with Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. If you look in the Rajba asks on Rashi, "Ve'ena mechaver." I don't think it's true. If the whole kinyan over here was agav, like the Rajbo, lomli laknuye oisemokim shehu monachba. If you look at Rav, when Rav told her what to do, Rav said, go to the place where the get is sitting, and be kind of the place where the get is sitting with kinyan chazaka. V'holoi be'in and siburin. Ask the Rajbo, why was he...
He cut out anything.
Right, why did he so care? Why was Rav so particular in his description of what you're kinyan? The guy could have owned 10 homes, and the get was in house number 1. So let her go to house number 7, make a kinyan on house number 7, and she'll own the get also through agav. Why did she have to bedafka make a kinyan on the place where the get was? So bishlam, if it's kinyan chatzar, that makes a lot of sense. Right. In order for chatzar to work, she has to own the makim where the get is to get kinyan chatzar. But if it's agav, ask the Rajba, why did you have to be so particular? Now, it could be, it's a kasha for meiser. Could be the guy only owned one house. Right. We're assuming this guy owned 50 houses. Okay, the guy only owned one house, and that's the only option.
Where's the meiser in the scene?
Okay, good. Hold off. Okay, we'll get that in a second. Who says you need a meiser in the scene?
Oh, that's the
very good. Okay, Geraldik. Okay, great. Terrific. Talk to Rashba. Now, that's the Rashba's problem. Elo, mashma, sheino isha miskaresh b'din agav. It must be that you learn from this Gemara and get nafayin zayin that a lady can't use kinyan agav. Why? Because if he could have used kinyan agav, why? If it was agav, Rav's directions were not correct. Now, the Rashba doesn't say why agav doesn't work. He just says, you see from this Gemara that Agav wasn't an option. Now, but he doesn't tell us why Agav wasn't an option. So I would have answered very pashut, because Kinyan Agav is a Kinyan Derabonim. And if you have a choice between a kinyan deraisa and a kinyan derabanan, chatz is a deraisa. We learned at the beginning of the parak. Agav is only derabanan. So when Rav was thinking to himself, okay, I got to figure out a way to make this get this lady. So I have two options. I can either go kinyan deraisa, go kinyan derabanan, or go kinyan deraisa. So you don't see from the Gemara, even in the Rashba, a reason why kinyan Agav was rejected. We do see kinyan Agav was rejected, and I'm okay with that. But you don't see a why.
Into it, so you can't, good. Just because you own the property.
That's the famous Shach. The Shach has a Shita out there, which we're going to talk about a little bit, hopefully today. The Shach has a Shita that if you want to have Kinyan Chatzar, it does not work for anything that was in the Chatzar before you owned it. For example, according to the Shach, if I want to buy a furnished home, I cannot make a Kinyan on the house and be carrying all the furniture through Chatzar. That does not work. Because since the objects were in the Chatzar prior to my ownership of the Chatzar, I do not have Kinyan Chatzar. So according to the Shach, we understand Rashi very well. We understand why Chatzah doesn't work in our Gemara. Because you can't use Chatzah. Because since the get was in the Chatzah, before the Chatzah became hers, Chatzah is not an option. The only problem is Rashi doesn't hold like the Shach, which we'll get to in a few minutes. But in the Rashba, you don't see what exactly the Rashba had against Agav. You just see that Agav doesn't work. If you look in the Ran in number 10, the Ran in the back of the Gemara, he adds a little bit more of a lumdus. Zok the Ran, v'loy nihiro, same thing is found in the Ritva. V'loy nihiro, I don't agree with Rashi. Why do you have to put? Why do you have to be carrying the place where the get is? It must be, says the Ran, the same conclusion as the Rashba that you see from our Gemara that Kinyan Agav doesn't work by Gershon. Now the Rashba didn't tell us why. The Ran adds why. The beinan v'nosan biyoda v'leka. Magical words. You need to have v'nosan biyoda and you don't have. What does the Ran mean? Poshup shot in the round. The round is saying that you need to have either put it in her hand or in her possession. But says the round, Agav is neither putting it in her hand nor putting it in her possession. You'll ask me, so why is Chatzar any better? Because Chatzar is an extension of her yad, as we learned at the beginning of the Perek. So it sounds like from the words of the round that the round understood the problem with Agav is it's not sufficient that the Isha owns the get. That's not what the Torah said. The Torah said you need to have a mice in the Sina, you have to give it. Either deliver it to her hand, deliver it to her backyard, deliver it to her purse. There has to be a delivery to her rishos. This is neither. This is not a delivery to her hand. This is not a delivery to her rishos. It's neither. Yes, she owns the get. No one's debating it. At the end of the day, she owns this piece of paper. But the Ran says that's not what Gerushin is about. Gerushin is not about ownership of the paper. It's about Nesinas HaPaper.
But if you hold that by Kinyan Chatzar, it can't be in there at the time of the Kinyan. Then right. That wouldn't work either.
Correct. That might be why Rashi didn't go that way. We'll get to that in a second. Rabbi said, what does this Ran sound like that we've been talking about so much in this parak? This Ran is the Ktzais. We had a famous Ktzais over and over in this parak, where the Ktzais says that when it comes to Gerushin, you're not, the Isha is not owning the paper. The way Chaloy's Gerushin works is not when I give you the paper, you're kind of the paper, and that frees you from your husband. That's not how a get works. How does a get work? The Torah says, Nesina. Make a place. Drop it. Put it in her hand, put it in her backyard. It's no ownership. It's not about Kenyan. Gerushin doesn't work by her owning the paper. By a legal document, by buying and selling property, then the Ktzai says that's how it does work. If I want to sell you property and I write up a document, so when I give over the document to you and you own the document, you now own the property. That's not the way it works by Gerushin, says the Ktzai. Where does he see that from? It's mamash what the Ran's taina is. That's the Ran's taina. The Ran's taina to Rashi is, you're lacking the din of Nesina. So what's Rashi going to answer? Rashi, that's not true. Rashi's going to say, I don't agree with this Yisoid. I'm going to tell you that Gerushin is not about Nesina. Gerushin is about ownership. How do I make it mine? So Kinyan Agav is a method that I own the get. So the Rashi and the Ran are arguing whether or not you accept the Yisoid of the Ktzos. You don't accept the Yisoid of the Ktzos. Ran and those Rishayim in the Ran and the Ritzvah that asked this Kasha, that's not Venasim Biyada, they're right to the Ktzos. Rashi and possibly the Rashba, who don't ask this Kasha, or are not bothered by this Kasha, is because they hold it's not true. Gerushin is not about Nesina, it's about actual kaina. Owning the paper is what makes the chalos Gerushin. Mr. Shem, next week we'll see that this is not true at all. And we're going to see that you could say a different way of learning Rashi. And we'll see that the Rashba might be a steal if we don't answer up how to learn the Gemara differently.